right, Mika, thank you very much for taking the time today so we can have a little interview and discussion about the current state of Estate Guru. My first question, I know you've been with the company for many years already. I think you joined 2017. We met at the 5-year anniversary party back then when you still were at the upper office and had the rebranding. Now you've been the CEO. Starting from 2023, probably entering like one of the most difficult times in the company's history. What's your current perspective on the Estate Guru, let's say, from your inside point of view? Like, how do you assess currently the status quo of Estate Guru?
Yeah, it's 2017 already. It's good to remember for me this date, as this is a birthday also of my son, so I can always go back. But yeah, hello everyone, happy to be back on a show podcast. So yeah, last year we also discussed, and this is where we actually started to set out to kind of focus our whole strategy. So before 2023 we were really on high growth, expanding to new countries. Then the war started and we saw that everything is going to change in the markets as well. And Germany happened, and all of these led to us to that, okay, it's time to go back a little bit from the high growth strategy to sustainable growth. So what we did is we refocused back on the Baltic and Finland markets, put on stop the German market to clean up the portfolio there, and also kind of stop the origination some like Spain. We had also expansion plans and we kind of rolled back from there. So overall, and we put like really worked again with enhancing our quality metrics on portfolio side. So looking now back for the previous year, yeah, it was a kind of lot of changes, lot of discussions with the investors, with internally, externally. But I think we did pretty well overall. So we have been able to adjust all our like business structure. We are now going on forward with a sustainable way. Looking our portfolio statistics now, what we originated last year, this looks really healthy. Probably we go into that more detailed, but we are back in really low defaults in origination what we did, and this is it, and what I'm really happy about is that this is the time where actually real estate is going down a little bit in all of the markets, and then you have more pressure on the inflation, and all of this happens on a macro. So we have been able to originate really good deals and actually switched to even more quality borrowers. We see as the Euribor in this region is also influencing the interest rates, then actually this means that we are now competing with different banks for the borrowers and the projects. And we are now, yeah, working on new exciting things for the investors, and continue to invest heavily on recovering the previous portfolios, which will stay with us. But I think at the same time we are able to really originate a new portfolio and continue providing investment opportunities. We see investors' behavior also changing. Them returning and trusting the auto invest at the moment also in their investments.
All right, so there was already a lot of cues that we can pick up now in the following minutes. Obviously there will be a lot of space today talking about defaults, recoveries, but I would like to start off with something, let's say, more positive, which you already mentioned, is the trending performance that you showcased with your outstanding portfolio. There was recently some information shared, like you originated around 100 million loans in 2023, of which only I think 3.5% have been in the default stage as of now. I think around 3% late, 31% have been repaid already, 61 are going according to schedule. So quite promising signals. And what I read a lot is that you had a kind of the switch happened somehow with that new risk assessment approach that you take on now from Moody's risk assessment. Can you explain what this risk assessment of Moody entails and how it differs from the approach EstateGuru had before?
I think when actually looking even more back, we have now done this cohort analysis and then comparing like before the high growth situation, then actually this was our strength before the Germany as well, that we had really high quality portfolio and low defaults. Our aim has been always to have defaults below 5%. In our business, you will have some projects that don't go as expected. And that's why this collateral comes into the play, that you can actually then go out and sell it, and usually we sell it with 12 months, you wait one more year and you still get some return. So the portfolio was really healthy there. Then market dynamics changed. Yes, we have also our learnings, but I think what also happened was that I think today Germany, Finland have their worst like real estate situation in many years when looking in Finland, even in the case that it's like, I don't know, in the level of 2008 and 2007, a lot of developers are going bankruptcy and etc. So it's really, you need to narrowly navigate. But we have, yeah, last year we did pretty good. We're back on a level where we want to be. So 100 million went out, like you said. Already over 30 million is repaid. I think it's now approaching to 40 million, so 40% is. And we have actually now this 12 months passed. So usually loans are repaid in 12 months. So we can have a pretty good understanding how this is going to roll out. And actually, yes, it was, when we published, it was 3.5 million was in recovery, but now it's even dropped to 2.5. So we made one recovery, I think, in Estonia. So it is healthy. Late loans are also low and everything else is performing normally, and we expect them to kind of go in a normal way. So and this is the way we continue. Moody's, as I said, it adds extra level. So what we do now, we did previous as well, but Moody's allows us to use this really standardized way of assessing the borrowers. So we put a lot of effort on understanding the collateral and the project. And this has helped us to have this good recovery rates as well in the Baltic portfolio especially. But with this, what we try to do is to make sure that even less projects end up in recovery process. Yes, sure. In this case, you can recover it, but what we see also, the expectancy of our retail investors especially is that when you promise me 12 months, I would like the money get back after 12 months.
Sure.
I don't want to wait more, even if it kind of, if we are able to bring the money back later on.
Sure. But coming back to Moody again, like is like just from an investor's perspective, from the outside looking at it, did EstateGuru have, let's say, significant changes in the borrower risk assessment? Is through Moody, is there additional data points that you look at? Is there tighter rules that you apply now for accepting borrowers? What is the difference now with Moody coming into play?
It's not only Moody's, we also reviewed our own credit policy, tightened the exposure limits, so we're not going to give you so much anymore to one certain borrower or borrower group. It's about adding more layers of committees internally to monitor everything, and it's about, I think we already had quite many fields, but our approach last year was that, okay, let's add even more so that we are on institutional grade level. So meaning that that we provide the same quality for the retail that what we provide that will pass through institutional criteria. Mm. So if we pass loan project to our institutional investors, they say, I don't have more questions, And either then I want to invest in that or not, but this is the level we're aiming, that all of these institutions are also getting all of the data what they want. So we have just had more data fields what we analyze internally. It's about Moody's gives us also standardized model in a way, and we have also we had previously our own models, but Moody's strength is that they have been in the business long time and a lot of data over the Europe and over the world actually, and this gives us we have done like over I think it was 7,000 projects, a lot of info already, but they have even more data, so this this is even better. So it's it's multiple things what we have done and continue doing, and in a sense that every defaulted loan is also actually a learning for us. So this means that with every recovery, we also make a like retro and try to understand that, okay, what did we miss this time? And then we enhance again our credit rules. So there's also routine of going through our credit policy, credit rules, and this in constant move, because also market are changing and you need to be. So it's in a way we are performing like banks do in our internal operations.
Mm. Let's go to, let's pick up a cue that you mentioned, institutional investors, the quality of loans they are getting. I remember from conversations in the past, there was an increasing, let's say, importance, significance of funding coming from institutional investor side. Now, I reviewed the numbers, the origination volumes in the first 4 months of the year for the past 5 years. Now, it's 27, 28 million now for, let's say, up until April this year. The previous years, like last year was a bit similar, but the years before you originated a lot more. Where are the funds coming from at the moment, and what is also the contribution from institutional investor side right now?
We were last year able to bring a couple of new institutions, but currently our main overall institution market is still kind of really, conservative is a wrong word, but they are not so eager to deploy their money so much, and they're really looking what regions they want and etc. So they are currently at 5% level, and good. Everything else is actually coming from the retail and majority even actually from the high net worth family offices. So it is like this sophisticated investors who are really eager to currently get their hands or investments into their real estate projects. And the retail also continues. Germany continues to be actually the biggest investor group currently investing into their projects.
Okay, interesting. Because I remember from the past, the institutional share was, let's say, varying between 10%, I think in the best years, maybe 30%. Now 5%, is that, have they been, let's say, scared off by recent developments of the loan book performance of Estate Guru, or where do you see that shift coming from? Is it something that is due to the, let's say, lack of performance of Estate Guru from the past in Germany, or where's the low interest coming now?
Again, it's not with the ones we have, they continue investing and they are really happy. When looking at their portfolios, they are also having like really quality portfolios. So they are getting the repayments, they are redeploying. So I think why it's it stopped is also that currently we have a little bit refocused and we haven't onboarded new institutions so much, so, and I see that for that we also need what they're looking is also like bigger markets, so to bring in some bigger institutions, they want to be sure that they can deploy big amounts of money. So, and if they look maybe these regions where we are now focusing, they think that they are not sure if they can deploy all of the money they need. Overall, in the institutional world, I think this region itself is a little bit not so known. They would rather go to, I don't know, Spain, Germany, France. So this is where they have the mandates and way of investing. So yeah, it's a multiple things. Hmm.
Which might be a bit surprising because looking at, let's say, your historical performance, especially in Estonia, which, you know, over the past 10 years has been quite good, should be a reason.
I'm also surprised. I don't know. In a sense that actually this is a really, even looking at our own portfolio performance, then actually Baltics has been the best performing parts. This is a high digitalization level. It's really, really easy to work out on all aspects, from setting the mortgages to actually then when you have problems, how to get the money back. You have a really good behavior of the borrowers actually overall. You have a little bit maybe a smaller project, but this means that there's more liquidity in the markets. When you look at the economics, then actually deals are happening, markets and economies are healthy, low debt levels on governmental levels, low on unemployment, all of that. So this is actually a really healthy region. And today, for example, Lithuania has the highest GDP growth in whole Europe, and overall the region has low unemployment. This inflation has gone down heavily, and so it's a great region actually when you look from this economical perspective. But this is a question for the deciders in this institutional headquarters.
If we're looking at the big picture now and switch more towards the status quo recoveries, we see, let's say, the performance as we speak now, it's 132 million euros defaulted, 51% of your outstanding loan book, more than half actually. I heard from an external source your target for this year was to recover around 30 million euros of loans. Can you confirm that number first?
We had record recovery last year on our history. This was over 20 million with principal and interest and all of the fees included. This year our aim is to do even more than that, 30 million. Currently still markets have some delays in selling, especially if we want to get the maximum return for the investors. But I see things are going to change, and now the central bank also somehow hear some hints that interest are going to go down, and I think this will change a little bit the picture, so there will be more positive vibes, and this will influence also the real estate. So we continue work day to day to maximize recoveries. We have become pretty good in the current regions to do that. It's like ongoing process, and we have put a lot of effort also in German to make it happen. This needs a little bit more time, but I think with every month passing, the likelihood of getting recoveries is getting much more stronger. Even actually last week we paid back 1 million in Germany, so things are a little bit moving.
Now, again, so you can confirm the target this year to recover defaulted loans remains at 30 million, and you're still on that timeline. You feel like that target is still achievable, because when I reviewed, let's say, the recovery so far up until the end of April, it was around nearing 4 million. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what happened now in May, but let's say if we, you know, multiply it by 3, we see like we end up maybe 10, 12 million euros. So you're optimistic you're going to hit that target by the end of this year?
It depends on multiple things, but again, in recoveries, this is like we had like 4 million already planned, one recovery, what was planned for 2 months ago. Due to certain circumstances, it was postponed 1 month, and then technically again 1 month. So there's a like pile of deals which are being prepared, but you might have like, yes, you had like 1 million last month, 2 million before that, and suddenly at 1 month we might have then 10 million coming back, because then everything falls together in right place. So there are also big tickets. Germany out of this 50 is a big part of, so it's 77 million still what we are trying to bring back. So this is a little bit misleading, I think. We are also now thinking of like bringing the Germany also to its own, let's say, page in a way that we can give more info there and show how the recovery is going, and then show the active markets as a separately, because then you get a better picture of what is currently happening with current origination and loans. So 30 million is doable, but it and even more is doable, but this also means that things need to go right. But I think summer is coming, and the team is working hard to get this done.
Before we look closer to Germany, maybe a very sensitive question. I'm sure internally you have looked at the situation of potential losses. What is your forecast at the moment of those 130 million of defaulted loans? How much do you think will not be recovered? How many loans need to be written off as losses at one point in time?
I'm pretty positive in Baltic and Finland that we can continue bringing positive returns also on recoveries. Market situation might a little bit influence it. There is more likelihood in Germany. Like I have explained in some previous interviews as well, there was like we were looking different exit scenarios for this. One is that, okay, let's sell in bulk, but at current stage this would have meant like a lot of discount for the portfolio, because the one who will buy will want to have the legal fees, they want to have their own returns into that, and they take some market discounts, and we saw that, okay, this is not beneficial for the investors, and we can't do it, because if somebody wants to sell with discount, they can go to second market and exit from there. So our aim has always been that maximize. We now took a longer legal road to actually make this one by one, these recoveries. However, we might now also consider to put some of the things into auctions, and yes, I think with all of the projects in Germany, we can't come out with a principal plus return, but there might be also some loss of capital, but still, it's kind of having the collateral means that there's actually something what you can sell and recover the money from there.
So you have a hard time expressing a specific figure. I just try one more time. What is your current forecast? What do you expect, like how many losses will occur eventually, if, you know, not in every market, but let's say in Germany, how many loans do you think?
Again, for me it's a little bit hard, because things are all the time changed. Saying now, I will, and again, this is not...
I'm sure you have, let's say like this, you have different scenarios, yes. I guess. You have a best yes. case scenario, the worst case. I know you're like took different approaches from, let's say, should we sell in a bulk and take a loss immediately, cut your losses short in a way, or do we look at each loan individually, take a longer approach, as you, from my understanding, currently do with, you know, a recovery timeline of 3 to 5 years. But what's the range, let's say, in the best and the worst case scenario for you?
Okay, because I don't want that also, like, you pick the worst scenario and tell that this is, we aim to maximize. I think the worst was, like, we saw, like, 40 to 60% discount. So this would have been happened if we had done the bulk sell. Now, selling like this, with current macro, I think this might like 20 to 10, or when things go well, it's zero to some return, 5% or something like this. So this is the range probably where.
Okay. Okay. So at least we have some understanding. So you were able to sell with a 40 to 60% loss, which you decided against, and depending on market dynamics, it can be a slight loss from 10 to 20% maybe, or maybe even, you know, break even or something.
Yes, projects will be different, but we also analyzed our like investors' portfolios in Germany, and luckily this is still quite diversified. So I think overall, yes, there will be some projects with a loss, but there will be also projects which we can come out in a nice way. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, then let's you know, dive right into Germany. We had so many touch points already. What is the current status quo for recoveries in Germany? I know you're working with Steinberg, a company in Germany, to recover those loans. Maybe like from your perspective, what is like, let's say, the general process that you're making in Germany, and maybe a couple words also on that Steinberg collaboration and how they help you to recover those loans.
That's a good cooperation. They are really good experts in the field in Germany, helping us there. We saw that if we want to maximize return, we need to have really good partners locally. So the process is that we have a separate team assigned internally to work with this, which consists of lawyers and risk people. There's a separate committee from the board level and management level kind of going through on a continuous way of seeing and monitoring the process or progress. And then this team is working day to day with a local partner to make these proceedings happen and go forward. So there's a what I can say is that there's a workout strategy for each project. So this we have established. They are in different stages, but they have all initiated, and some of them are already in a later stage, some of them are in middle, but all of them have started, and it then depends on how they will evolve.
Okay, so the collaboration is not something like you assigned them to recover those loans, but you're actively, let's say, are involved and engaged in trying to make sure there's some process.
It's our one of the still strategic priorities, and we continue to invest there heavily. We did, and I think this we have also publicly, is that last year we did even basically 1 million of legal fees, and with a around 8 million revenues. We will soon publish the annual report. People can look out from there. Then this is actually a big part of the business what we put there.
Yeah.
And this is our commitment to investors, actually, that this is our thing what we need to solve, and with that, with existing customers what we have to maximize their savings and on investments what they did.
Mm. There was a recent interview that I saw on the blog with some Steinberg employee or director, and she mentioned the timeline, which initially the recovery timeline was at some point around 2 years, plus minus. Now it was quoted the timeline might be 3 to 5 years. Can you comment why this process will be very likely prolonged, and how, you know, let's say, why in the first place? And secondly, what are the chances now a bigger part of loans can be recovered than in the end? Or what are the difficulties in Germany that, you know, the timeline has to be that long to go to auction or to sell those loans?
Compared to what we have now understood, compared to the like Baltic markets and even Finland, this let's say bureaucratic process is taking so much longer, and like it was said in the interview, like if the borrowers are not cooperative, trying to hide and maximize, like, I don't know, their benefits, then it will take more time. Eventually we will get there. We don't stop. They need to know that we will anyway get to them and solve, and we put like more conservative approach in our communication, and this is like 3 to 5 means that this is probably for the hardest cases, that it will take longer to find maybe bigger projects in some areas where it's maybe hard to sell, so you don't know how quickly you can actually get out. But this doesn't mean that everything happens there. Our aim is to already bring back some of the loans this year and continue to do it year to year.
Mm-hmm. All right. Talking about some, let's say, borrowers that are a bit more hesitant to pay back, some let's say unforeseen obstacles. I like that there was a very detailed status report coming for German loans that was in November 2023. Now the past half year we haven't heard much details about it. Why do you went away from, let's say, communicating more actively on the processes mm-hmm. and the progress you make in German recoveries?
Again, several reasons for that. First of all, we saw that first month we kind of, and it was already before November, we did a status update on mm-hmm. portfolio and on loans. People were, yes, happy, finally you are transparent.
Yeah.
Then continue doing it. Then we next month did a similar with the same update and people are, okay, but you're not saying anything new. Then third month we did like, what are you doing? You are not doing anything. You are saying the same things. But then we realized that then we switched to the quarterly reports, because the thing is that these things will take time, like we said, the maximum it might take 5 years. So, and it's not nothing to report. What we have said recently as well is that if there is some major updates, then we will definitely let the investors know. The first, there's a improved timeline which will show also like the specific status of each loan, and if there's some bigger news we will definitely. And there was also like in a recent blog Steinberg also advises that we can't go too detailed in each loan, because again, if the borrowers are like not cooperative, then they might find out our strategies, and if they find out our specific strategies, they can counter these activities. We have seen it also in other markets that if they're not cooperative, they try to put so much obstacles on your road. So in Estonian courts, we have seen they're making like, even like, the word is wrong in English, I don't know how to say it in English, but basically fake claims or something like this, show to basically put on stop like 6 months on legal proceedings, then you actually win this, court says that it's nothing there, and then you can continue, and if you give, this is like the balance we need to find. How much you can share to bring the value, and at the same time, if you maybe share too much, then it's also not so good for the outcome. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're trying. I know this might be frustrating. Why I haven't updated anything? I can relate to that. I have also, I looked my own portfolio of investments. I see also defaults there, but my strategy is that I know I work hard here. I can influence this. I'm not looking. I continue investing for auto-invest, and this is the way to.
Early in our conversation, you said every defaulted loan also presents, let's say, a lesson, something you can take away for future approaches, future strategies. Now, looking at the situation in Germany with more than 77 million euros being defaulted, what have been the mistakes EstateGuru has made in the past, and why, it seemed like there was a very aggressive expansion approach from EstateGuru. What have been the lessons learned from the situation?
Yeah, there were like many lessons. So we did also like internal like investigation on the topic, and we kind of found out that there's like not one single thing like you can really point that this was. It's multiple things. I think what happened in Germany was also that we entered there on a high peak of the market, so the market is influencing, but internally, again, we have communicated this was probably too aggressive entry strategy for the market, so expanding our portfolio too quickly. So next time we're going to open a new market, we are going to do it in stages, even if it decide to go back to Germany, the first portfolio we're going to initiate is like, let's say, in Germany it might be like 10 to 20 million, then you wait 1 year, sees what happens, and then you start to add more. Luckily, we have now so much learnings how to evaluate the projects there. So this is one, it's about concentration risks, that how much you give loans to each borrower. Now with a pan-European license, it is also more regulated for the platforms that they can, what are the limits. So this, but at that time again, I think this was a like appetite from everyone. We were also like called that, come to Germany, do loans, we want this regions, we want to invest here. Then there was overall like, we did seeders rounds, shareholders, everybody said that, yeah, so growth to that, so it's combination of everything, but also internally a lot of learnings what we can do. And I explained also on the credit side, policy side, like what changes we have done.
But something interesting to me is, let's say, looking at the historic performance you have, let's say, in the Baltics or in Estonia in particular, it always used to be quite good, constant, on a pretty decent, good level. Why did those assessment criteria, even before Moody, which you had in previous years, why doesn't the same assessment rules, why are they not as effective as they have been, let's say, in the Baltics than in Germany?
This is a good question. So we entered with a similar setup. I think one of the things is, again, the same, that the ticket sizes were so much bigger in Germany. So actually there is, we funded over 100 million there, and 30 million is already have been repaid. So it's not, we can't say that everything went south.
But the majority.
Majority still went. So the ticket sizes, so in Baltic you do average maybe 300,000-500,000, so if this defaults you don't have so much big impact. But there, if you do a project which is like 5 million euros and you do a couple of them, you have really big exposure already of the portfolio. And if this defaults, then you have a big part of the portfolio defaulted. So I think overall it's about, again, targeting the right borrowers, so, and the right projects. So it seems maybe one learning is, and this we're discussing internally, is that if we were to enter, like, who is then the target borrower and the projects, so it seems that maybe the ones we do here, residential, big developers, really well known in the market, banks are financing them, so who are the ones in this bigger market? So it seems that we might change a little bit this there as well, so whom we finance. So
Do you think, maybe looking back at it, you trust maybe the wrong wrong partners? I mean, how did you find those projects in Germany, and have you, you know, maybe trusted the wrong people to go into certain projects, let's say, aside from the simple, let's say, assessment data?
This is an overall learning for us as well, that, and we have reduced it heavily. We saw it also a little bit in Spain, but Spain is in, like, we have only 1 million left there too, and this is a performing loan. We have recovered everything, but, and we saw it also now when we investigated UK market, that actually, like, if you go through brokers or somebody who brings you deals, then you need to be even more cautious.
Careful.
So what we did, when we entered a new market, we kind of use different valuators and everything else, but it is finding right partners. So what we have benefited in other markets, we have also in Finland, for example, changed multiple times our legal partners and all of that, local ones, and our valuation partners and all of that. But we didn't have like that kind of problem that you have so many, you were learning this like more smoothly in many years.
Phase.
So you kind of you saw something didn't work, you kind of then changed and you then improved, but you in Germany everything happened in once and then you were okay, I couldn't do this smooth learning and improvement in a way of finding the good and great partners. I think today we have now the good setup of having the Steinberg working with us and all other advisors whom we have.
Okay. Now there's obviously a very close bridge from trusting, let's say, the wrong evaluators to the team that you have employed back in the day. I want to quote something because every year there's like an annual recap what happened in the previous year, and the recap 2022, we should also note that we are currently in the process of investigating possible violations of our internal regulations by some members of our German team during the years 2020 and 2021. Now that's already 2 years ago. I don't think there was anything, you know, publicly shared about your findings. Maybe can you comment on if you found something or what those internal investigations, like what have been the results from it?
So we have finished the investigation. So internal ones, we have done our conclusions. This will a bit share the insights of making the changes and making the credit tools and all of that. We have also excluded the external ones, but this is where I can't go to the details because there we have things going on with the Steinberg. So when we have right time to communicate something more, then yes, we will do that.
Okay, so have there been violations or not from your team members against your policies?
What I can say is that it has been externally bad behavior, so and this we will definitely go out and bring the justice to the investors.
Okay, then we have let it be like this if it had also any impact on the internal proceedings. Maybe one aspect, it's a small one, but I was wondering, let's say, you know, from the outside looking at it, you know, it seemed also a bit like those kind of accusations that look like who's the black sheep, a bit like victim blaming public, you know, like shaming. Was it maybe because of, you know, internal staff members that have violated against certain rules? Do you think that was, in hindsight, was that the best way to publicly communicate that you have internal investigations going on against your own team members?
These are like hectic times when you have so many things happening. Looking back, then yes, probably we have not only with this, but maybe all of communicating our portfolio and all of that, we could have done much more better. But again, at that time, we were doing multiple things. As I said, we also really changed the organization structure. We were becoming more efficient. So at one point we had over 100 people. We were coming down from that. This also meant that we had to align the team to get everyone again running in the new things. So yeah. Learnings from many aspects. Maybe this is how I conclude this question.
Okay. Let's talk about the financials. I know in Estonia, annual report is due by the end of June, so not much time left then. I'm sure you know already some numbers, and in the shareholder report for Q1, I already saw a couple of numbers. Maybe you can sum up what have been the results from last year.
So we, as I explained in the beginning, we started from this high growth, we had to raise money, so we were kind of investing to the company to make all of these growth initiatives. So this meant that spending money ahead and to then accelerate and get to the levels where you are break even. So we had to change the strategy to bring the break even already now. So this we were successful actually last year. We rushed half. Second part of the year was already break-even, for the business. We raised some extra capital in the beginning of the year to be in a good place with the reserves. So we are now operating in a like much healthier position as a company. We have diversified our revenues more. We have tight control on our cost side. So all of this makes us, I think, more mature and stronger company overall. So yeah, this is where we stand. Mm-hmm. And our aim is to continue actually operating profitably. The annual report will come out. This will still show the minus for the last year, due to the same reason that the first half of year was in minus, and we have now, from the auditing perspective, we need to kind of make a discount on our investments in the UK. So this will had a heavier this kind of discounts into the annual report, but our aim is that already this year we can show the profits.
Hmm. You said diversifying revenue streams, and if I saw it correctly from the shareholder report, you even increased your revenue last year to 8.4 million euros. Now, the biggest part in the past came from origination volumes and new loan issuance. Now, since this part has been going down, how did you diversify? Is it then primarily like debt management, collecting certain, you know, penalty fees, or I know you also inserted certain management fees then for investors. So where is now the bigger part of the revenue coming from that enabled you also to increase your revenue last mm-hmm. year?
Yeah, it's like we didn't want to, like, I don't know, add fees to one area, or like let's now put investors. The logic was that to really to build a little bit more towards that the portfolio management side. So as the big wealth managers do, or platforms do, that you not only take from the origination but also managing the portfolio and that side. So this was one of the changes. Again, as we are heavily investing into the recoveries and that we have the portfolio of in recovery, then yes, some part of fees are coming from there to basically to then recover the fees. What we have done, we basically take our money later when we make this recovery. Mm. And also institutions pay their asset management fees. So, and I think, yeah, these are the main things. So big part still is like the origination fees, but today it's around 40-50% share of overall.
Mm. And then you also mentioned managing the cost side. Obviously, you said you allocate a lot of resources for the recoveries, and you have your, let's say, legal teams. And in the process of last year, you also had, let's say, layoffs in a let's say bigger scale from employees. Or how did you manage, let's say, your workforce?
I would say this was a like restructuring, so we didn't need to have any more this expansion teams. We changed a little bit our marketing strategy. We changed the countries where we operate. We changed the projects we do in IT. So it was like from multiple angles. So this was this was a good time to again review all of the services you are using. Like we found out, okay, really many places where you can actually also be much more efficient, optimizing your server cost in a more detailed example, and many areas. So I think we are now much more cost effective as a business. So with the right amount of people, we can do much bigger volumes. But at the same time, what I want to emphasize is we have refocus for a same time, we added more people to the risk side, to the legal side. We have added people to the customer support. So it's about strengthening the quality. And less on this expansion and growth side. Mm-hmm. So this was the main changes. So it's about finding the right setup for the current challenges, strategies, and business environment.
Mm. Now you mentioned last 6 months, 23, you already were on a profitable level. You plan to have, let's say, the break-even point for the whole year 24. Obviously many investors have been concerned with, decreasing origination volumes, the whole situation with the recoveries. How would you say, how big are the chances EstateGuru will eventually run out of business or go out of business with, the current situation, or how stable do you think the company is moving forward?
There are room for us to navigate in different environments. So our aim is, as I said, we do whatever it needs to keep the business going, and our main priority anyway is to run the portfolio in a successful way for the investors. So this we are set out to go, and this we will do.
Mm. Okay, then that's, I think, an easy bridge to the outlook. Obviously, I guess main target will remain the recoveries, but at the same time, you can't just look behind or look back. You have to, look ahead. What are the ideas, plans for the future? Do you see new markets coming in for EstateGuru? Is there new products, new features? What's about to come?
We have set our sight now a little bit also to the growth side. So we are reaching out to the acquiring new investors. We see the growth happening in some of the markets already. We are onboarding new high net worth family offices. They have the appetite for the real estate loans currently. We are not so aggressive with the institution at the moment. And also on expansion, we see that we can actually, currently we're doing like 7 to 10 million in the current markets. I think we can go up to 20 million in these markets on the volumes, and then it's time to can look where else to go and which market. But the main investments goes to the recoveries, parallelly improving the overall efficiency processes with our IT systems internally. But there are some exciting things also happening soon. You will all see new investor dashboard going live, which will make the whole navigation easier. We have also said out loud that we are working now on finally with the app, so to bring this. But there are also new product adjustments. So already, I think this week will go out new test. Let's see the appetite of the investors. So what is a test is that today you have chance to invest into the loan as a whole. You have maximum LTV of 75% and then fixed return. So what we're now going to do is to actually split this 75% into two parts. So you can choose the lower LTV, for example, up to 50%, and with a lower return, but this is much senior part. So when the recovery happens, then the senior part will get their money first. And there's a second part, which is in this example from 50 to 75, but you have also then higher return on that. So, but this is a riskier part, what we also need to emphasize for that, because this will get the money later. So let's see, because we have also heard from the market that I would like to have, I'm okay with less risk. I want the less risk, but I'm okay with the less return. But then others are saying, give me the maximum return I could get. So let's see how the behavior of that goes. And on a longer term, we are thinking of a totally new way for the investing for the retail investors, more secure from their perspective, but when time is right, then we will start to communicate this more.
Mm. All right. Yeah, lastly, maybe finishing sentences from your side, because I'm assuming, you know, looking at the State Group from the outside perspective, it seems like it's a platform that, you know, has to figure out a lot of things still, is on the way to process all the recoveries and try to move ahead at the same time. From your perspective, what are the reasons now for investors to join a State Group, to invest on the platform? You know, why do you think now is a good time to be part of a State Group?
I think the main reason has stayed the same. So we have been now on the market 10 years. 10 years we have provided 10 plus returns for our investors. So this is a good diversification product for your investments, where you can actually get stable returns from month to month in a form of cash and interest coming to your accounts. So I have been saying this all the time. It's like that this is not probably a product where you bring all of your money, but this is a place where you diversify with the real estate loans, and it still has one of the greatest risk return elements in it. And I believe that we have the challenges to overcome, but looking ahead, when we do all of these recoveries and learnings, then we are so big step ahead of everyone, because in financing business, the data and experience is the most important, and recoveries bring us a lot of experience. We have shown in numbers in Baltic that we are already pretty good at securing the making good origination, providing good returns, and if the things don't go as expected, we can still bring a good returns for the investors. So this is a good alternative investment product for everyone to diversify their investments.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Mikael. I know it's not, you know, maybe one of the easiest times to speak about events on the State Group, but at the same time, you know, thanks for taking the time and answering also a couple more critical questions. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for taking me to the show. Okay. Thank you.